I'm on. Oh, I'm on. Hot. It's hot. Well, good morning and welcome to the Vineyard.
Good morning, John.
For those that don't know me, I'm John Nowitzki, and I'm the hospitality missions pastor at the Dillon Vineyard. So I bring greetings from the Dillon Vineyard to the Billings Vineyard. Good morning. It's a real honor to be here with you this morning. It's a privilege. Through my relationship with Adam, which has been already spoken, he's on sabbatical, and we just want to lift him up and bless him in that, hearing from the Lord. I've been asked to come and share with you. I'm not so much a preacher. I'm more of a small group kind of person, but that's okay. That's okay. God has got something for us here today. So I have a question for you. Who or what has shaped or influenced your life and purpose? Take a minute. Think about that. And who are you shaping and influencing in that way today? A little bit about me. I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And my wonderful wife, you know, she finds these things. It's go pack. I imagine there's, I was told earlier, it might be rivalry, but I was said I should reframe that into revival. Let's come together. I don't know what that looks like, so I'll just let that one lay. So I was the oldest of four boys, and that's the crude group of us. My dad has passed since his picture, and my mom has as well, last year actually. And it was a time of joy as well as grief in losing them. When we have relationship with people that have shaped us into who we are, and to live that hard part of life out as losing them, that also shapes and gives us a different kind of outlook and purpose, how we live our lives going forward from that. So I grew up in Pulaski on a small farm. That's the actual picture, which is, again, my wife's digging for pictures. It was a 40-acre farm, which is pretty small. And I was there until sixth grade with the family. And because there's four boys, my folks figured that it's time to move to a bigger farm because a lot of help. So in that, there was a lot of hard work, long hours, not a lot of breaks in the day, which shaped and formed me, made me who I am today to some degree. Because we continue to change, transformation. So we're going to get to more of that. The dairy farm. So I worked for my parents, and then I worked for myself, and then I worked for my family. Did you catch that? Okay. I worked for my family. Continuing to change my purpose, continuing to change the focus of my life. What does that look like? So we'll get back to the rest of my story in a little bit, in a little bit. The series we're on is a season of formation, living as the church together. Today I'm speaking on Philippians 1, 12 through 26, the NIV version. So let's pray. Father, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Come, fill your church, fill this space, God. Use me in whatever way you would like this morning here, God. Bless your church with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the text is, I'll read through it here. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether false motive or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convicted of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for the progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ, Jesus Christ, will abound on account of me. The theme, to live is to Christ, is Christ, reframing life and purpose. So I'm a carpenter by trade. That's who I am. So I love this idea that I was given a space to reframe. Reframe life. How do we deconstruct what we think we know into what God knows and He wants to teach us? We need to know our identity, who we are, in order to move forward with purpose. Your life and purpose has come from an influence. Who or what is that? So a little bit back to my story. I was growing up in the church. and things didn't make sense to me, and things were forced on me. And I didn't have anyone to explain, really. It was, you're heard and not, you're seen and not heard. That was a part of my influence, along with working. So I rebelled for 25 years. I walked away from everything that I knew. I didn't believe it to be true. I didn't believe it to be right because it wasn't explained. I had nowhere to go with this unformatted material in front of me, God's word. So I rebelled. I walked away 25 years. So after 25 years, through invitation to come back to the church a few times, my heart was softened and I walked in the door. The story can just erupted. It erupts. God grabbed my heart. He grabbed my mind. Things began to change. He was reframing me, reframing my life, my outlook, my desires. The things I desired when I was over here, when I moved over here, I chose. He chose me to move. He invited me to move, and I chose to accept that invitation. Seven small groups in a week. Does that sound a little crazy to anybody? It does to me, okay? That was the hunger that God put in me. The change that happened in me through the whole church, because seven small groups, everybody's involved, right? So I had different influences from all parts of the church. You can't stay the same when that's happening. Going back to verse 12, Paul's testimony. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, the kingdom. People are talking. People are seeing what's happening. That's the influence we're having, folks. It doesn't go unseen. It doesn't go unheard. What we do matters. What we say matters. God is using you. He's using me. He's using us to change the world around us. What does that look like? Is it hard? Is it too hard? Do we want to give up? Some days, every day. Be the first to say it. It is hard. Is it worth it? What does Paul tell us? It is worth it. Because the brothers and sisters dare all the more without fear to proclaim the gospel. It's worth it. We don't get it right all the time. The things the enemy chirps in your ear, oh, you really messed that up. Are we going to believe the enemy, or are we going to believe what God says about us? You're my child. There's the identity that we want to hold on to. There's the identity we need to find. What does God say about us? What does God say about you? Make it real personal. Ask God, God, what do you call me? What do you call me? He's faithful to answer that question. He's faithful to answer that prayer. He's inviting each of us, each of you, in that way, to know who you are and to work out of that. So as a carpenter, I get into a lot of homes that pastors, even though I am a pastor, don't get into. I get to share Jesus with people in a way and invite them to things that other people don't get to. Now, whatever your job is, whatever your gift is, ask God how he wants to use you in that. If you're a mechanic, if you're a pilot, if you're a teacher, if you work at the grocer, if you're a student, if you're a parent, which most of us are parents in this room, grandparents, how does God want to use you? As a carpenter, I was able to bless people in another country. I was a missionary in Nicaragua with my wife for 4 years. Some of this church has been to Nicaragua on that mission trip, and that's how I got to know some of you, actually. I got to help them people and walk with those people in the way they live. I'm not right. I wasn't right in bringing my American thinking, my ways, to them. I had to be humble and soft to hear them and to help them walk in a better way that would make their work easier. I had to show them and actually do that work in order for them to believe that. In other words, my lifestyle changed how they received and perceived me. Oh, this guy can, and it's no kudos to me, I'm not saying it that way, but this guy is willing to hear and work with us. And what he has may be better, but we're not going to accept that. We're not receiving that until we see it. So it's our lifestyle. It's our lifestyle that changes how people look at the church as a whole, at God as a whole. They're looking, they're seeking, and we're the picture that they're looking at. This is not a condemning thing at all. It's a heart posture change to really know that what I'm doing, what I'm saying, the things I watch, the things I listen to make a difference. We're not in this thing alone. God is in front of us. He's for us. Therefore, who can be against us? We ask him to come, he comes. We pray, he answers prayers. Maybe not the way we want him. Maybe not the way we see. But he's answering. He's moving. He's steadfast. Our worship today was the sermon. It's beautiful. When you need help, you ask for help. If you don't know something, don't be prideful and give an answer that isn't right or true. Sit with the person, admit, hey, I really don't know, but let's look for it together. Let's figure it out. There's only one right, one true, and that's Jesus. He walked with us. He's still walking with us. Holy Spirit is walking with us, giving us all we need if we ask. I can't help to pick on Judah a little bit. So 6 months old. What a gift. Amen. You all have a part of that influence in his life. From these moments growing up, the young people that are here, you've been influenced, you've been impacted by your parents, by the people around you. What does that look like? It's a big responsibility. It becomes small when we ask Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Father, to lead us in all those things. Because truthfully, the results aren't up to us. We're all his kids. We have parents. But the truth is, we're his kids. Will they get it right all the time as parents? Probably not. I didn't. Messed it up pretty much daily. Maybe not all day long, right? But somewhere in my day, I messed that up. And even as a grandparent, somewhere in my day, I'll mess it up. So how is God asking you to reframe your life and your purpose? Is he asking you to change a direction? Is he asking you to say yes to something that is really unfamiliar, feels really hard? When we say yes to something, we say no to something else. Is there something in your life that is in that place? Is he asking you? Have you asked him? Communication, just like this morning here, it's not one-sided. And that's probably why I don't look at myself as a preacher. I love to have conversation. I love to have dialogue. And yet I'm called to stand before you and give my testimony and give you the things that God has put on my heart. What is he putting on your heart?